This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. This is The Blitz. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
A lot of people are unhappy that we ask those questions to Scott Drew. You've got to ask those questions, man. If you don't, you're not doing your job.
I said, I'm actually surprised that they have Scott Drew here. That documentary is dropping this weekend.
Yeah.
It is not a great time to be a coach at Baylor, but he's one of the few success stories that Baylor has right now. You know, it's one of the few bright spots in the last several years, which have been pretty dark.
Yeah, unless you're a Baylor guy, everybody wants to hear his answer. Towles Hill is officially gone. I saw people bitching about, oh, it used to be unique. Now it looks like every other park. I'm like, what, every other park that has a train on the left field fence?
Rest in peace, Towles Hill.
Yeah, you will be missed by some people, apparently.
People don't like to see anything jerked around with.
Well, Fred, it's like the Astrodome. That's what people come to Houston to see, Towles Hill.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three, 713-780-3776. Hey, I need to remind you that Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by Coaches vs. Cancer. Westwood One and its partner stations around the nation are pleased to be teaming with Coaches vs. Cancer during the NCAA tournament and this Final Four weekend. Join the fight and the Coaches vs. Cancer team today by texting CVC to 41444. You can also donate at coachesversuscancer.org. Every dollar counts. And guess what? We're going to jump right back into the interviews. Very excited about our next guest, who is one of the best, in my opinion, Kevin Kugler, who will be calling the game on Monday night. Well, all the games, right? So
I hope so.
Yeah.
If you heard something, Fred, I don't know.
Well, they did ask me to stay an extra day. I don't
know. It's been nice doing it. I will resign here on the radio.
Well, first off, is this your favorite sport to do? And I actually heard you do a Jaguars game, a preseason game earlier this year. I thought you were great at football, too, but is this your passion?
I am a very seasonal guy. I grew up in Nebraska, which was obviously a football state because we don't apparently do basketball at the University of Nebraska anymore. So I love football, but college basketball is just such a passionate sport, and it's passion-driven, and this event is by far my favorite event that I do all year long. So it's really cool to have a little part in this as the guy who does it on the radio.
So obviously, taking a look at these teams, how do you see these playing out, both these games tomorrow?
I think our first game, that South Carolina-Gonzaga game, that's a defensive game right on paper. I mean, you've got the two top defensive teams in college basketball, Gonzaga number one as far as defensive efficiency, and South Carolina number two. I think it's very competitive, but I would be very surprised if we were in the 80s in that game. I think this is going to be a lower-scoring game. And that Oregon-North Carolina game, I love what Oregon has done this year. But, man, this North Carolina team, experienced, driven, motivated by what happened to them last year, I really think you're going to see a North Carolina team that comes out extremely focused in this game. And the first 5 to 6 minutes, I think, are really critical for both of these teams. North Carolina wants to get out and punch them early, and Oregon has so much talent and athleticism. Can they get this game going in a tempo that they want it to go in? I'll be anxious to see.
I'm curious, is it an upset if anyone other than North Carolina wins this tournament in your mind?
I would not. Like, for example, if Gonzaga wins the tournament, I don't know that I would consider it a major upset. If the other two teams win, I think it would be a significant upset. But North Carolina is obviously the favorite in this thing based on what happened last year, the success that they've had this year, the experience that they have on this team, the fact that they are the blue blood left in this NCAA tournament. Yeah, I think outside of Gonzaga, which would be a mild upset, in North Carolina, if they don't win it, and the other two teams, Oregon and South Carolina, win a national championship, those two teams, I think it's a major upset if they win.
South Carolina is curious to me because they kind of had a break the first two rounds, essentially home games. But you know, what they did to Baylor and then what they did to Florida, just really impressive. And I think they're going to give Gonzaga some matchup problems. How do you see that game? I mean, obviously, it's going to be defensive. We saw it with Florida. But South, are they just the hot team right now, or are they going to be a little overmatched here?
I think South Carolina will play very well against Gonzaga because they defend very well, and that's something that's portable regardless of whether you have issues with sight lines in a large arena playing basketball. That defense is going to be portable. I think where you can get a little indicator as to how Gonzaga might perform. Look back earlier in the tournament when they played West Virginia. I think it's a similar matchup from a defensive standpoint. Now, South Carolina's not going to pressure as much as West Virginia likes to do, but they're going to defend like West Virginia likes to defend. And Gonzaga was able to deal with that and actually give a taste of their own medicine back to West Virginia. They contested 90% of West Virginia's shots in that game and were able late to come up with some big plays to make enough plays to get the win. Gonzaga is a tournament-tested team, as is South Carolina, but I really think the size inside for Gonzaga could be the difference in that game.
It's kind of fun to get some new blood in here.
I agree with you 100%. It's great to see new teams.
And good programs. I mean, Gonzaga's been good for a long time, and Oregon's been really good the last few years, and it's kind of cool to see those teams get here and not just have it be Kansas, Kentucky in the same old group.
I will be interested to see if that translates into eyes and ears watching and listening to broadcasts, though, because I wonder at times if it's not the blue bloods that don't draw people to the broadcast, the more casual fan who comes in for big events in the world of sports. I've always thought that that would be the thing that drew people in. You would hope that's not the case with these teams, because these are some great stories that we have. Oregon, South Carolina, and Gonzaga are fantastic stories to complement the story that everybody knows of North Carolina. So I hope people are able to check out our broadcast, watch it on TV, whatever, because I really think it's going to be a weekend full of good stories.
Yeah, one of my favorites is that Mark Few actually went down and talked about the Oregon job before they hired Altman, and they got into an argument over it, and you know that neither one could make it to the Final Four, and here they both are.
Yeah, and you're talking about two of the best guys in the game, two of the best people. Mark Few is somebody who has really embraced now his home in Spokane, been there since he was a grad assistant, loves the outdoors life that he brings, and really is just a guy who has been able to carve out, in a crazy coaching world, a lot of time for his family, which is sometimes hard to do for these coaches. And Dana Altman, I've had the chance to know Dana Altman for better part of 20 years now in this coaching game, and he's one of the best coaches nobody talks about. And, you know, he obviously wasn't the first choice for Oregon, or the right. second choice, or the third choice, but I think they're happy with him now and what he's been able to do, and essentially rebuilding that program after he took it over, and then they had all those allegations and the wrongdoings that were going on up there from the team. Basically, that roster got down to nothing. He built it back up, and that roster is the one that's here in the Final Four.
I'm always curious about this, and maybe it's just me, but for a guy who does what you do, what is your prep like to get ready for games like this? How much research do you do? How much interviews do you do with coaches? Just in a general sense, I'm just kind of curious.
We spent all day yesterday over at the arena doing one-on-ones with each of the five starters, any relevant bench players, plus the four coaches. So we were there from 8 a.m. until probably 4:30 yesterday, just talking to coaches, talking to players, talking to assistants, you know, just trying to come up with little nuggets here and there. For my prep, I have to know, first and foremost, how to pronounce everybody's name. I mean, that's that sounds silly, but the first way that you can tell a guy doesn't know what he's talking about is when he mispronounces the name of a school or a player. So that, for me, that's always the thing I stress first, is I've got to know how to say these guys' names, so it sounds like when I say Shemek Karnowski that I perhaps grew up with Shemek Karnowski and I know exactly how to say Shemek's name, because Shemek and I were great friends for all these years.
All right, Kevin. Is there one team out there that you thought would be here, that you thought was a lock to get here and is not?
Villanova. Yeah. I really thought, from the experience factor and because this tournament is so guard-dominated, that I really thought with that guard tandem that they had, Brunson and Hart in the backcourt with Villanova, and I'd just seen them play in the Big East tournament, they were clicking on all cylinders. I was really surprised when they ran into Wisconsin and they didn't get past the Badgers, because the Badgers at the end of the year didn't really give me a lot of indications that they were going to be the team that would be able to advance to the Sweet 16. And I thought Villanova at the end of the year looked like they were ready to defend that national championship. That was, to me, the biggest surprise from a team I thought for sure would be here. I am really stunned that I'm still surprised they're not here.
So, final prediction, you think North Carolina?
I am. I'm going with the team that I expected to be here, and I think the team that is driven at this point by past failure. And I think that's been a great motivator for this team, and I lean right now North Carolina. But like I said, if Gonzaga were to somehow win this thing, it wouldn't be a huge shock to me, because I've seen them throughout the tournament, and I think they're really, really talented.
All right, that's Kevin Kugler, Westwood One. Be looking forward to your calls this weekend,
sir.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for spending some time with us. All right, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Closest thing to Michelle.
option. Word. Yeah. To all the killers and the $100 billers.
Tune in to the Final Four on ESPN 97.5 and SB Nation 1560, 3:30 Saturday.
All right, our guest now is T.J. Otzelberger. Am I saying that right, Coach?
Yeah,
Otzelberger?
Absolutely.
All right. Who is the head coach of South Dakota State, who made the tournament this year. In your first year as the head coach, you made the tournament. That's not always the case, but congratulations on that. And you have some firsthand experience with one of the teams that's still here in Gonzaga.
Yeah, absolutely. First, appreciate you saying that, the kind words. I think, with Gonzaga, they're man, what a tough team. I think obviously we know the tradition of the program over the years, but this team defensively is so elite. And I think having the opportunity to play against them, when you see it up close and you're on the court with them, you just, their ability to protect the rim, block shots, their size and length is so imposing. And obviously you're seeing why they're able to make this run and why they could win it all.
Now, you guys had obviously it played in the conference that you play in. You had a great run in the conference tournament that got you to the tournament. You were fourth in the conference regular season. Did you expect your first tournament appearance to be this year, or did you think it would take a little while to build up?
Yeah, it was kind of something that we weren't expecting. I mean, last year, the team that we had last year, we lost four guards from that team, and so we knew there was going to be some transition. We struggled early in the year and then early in conference play as well, and fortunately for us, things kind of sorted themselves out in February and into March, and we were playing our best basketball. So something we definitely didn't see coming. I remember looking back on it the day of the championship game as we were getting ready. I was putting my suit on. I was kind of thinking, if we win this game, I guess we're in the NCAA tournament. Never really thought that was going to be a possibility. So we were lucky.
Well, congratulations on it. And it's good for experience for your kids going forward, I'm guessing, even though, I mean, obviously a first-round loss is a first-round loss, but it's nice to get those kids in those situations.
Yeah, it is, and I think if you're trying to continue to elevate the level of your program and set the bar, now we've gotten there, and now you want to try to move forward from that. So, I mean, hopefully it's a great experience for guys, something that hopefully makes them hungry to continue to want to pursue and go back, and gives us a solid foundation moving forward.
You spent quite a bit of time in the Big 12 at Iowa State for a long time. When you left Iowa State a few years back to Washington to coach with Coach Romar, what was the reasoning behind it? Did you just feel like maybe you had done everything you could there at Iowa State, or well, and then you came back just a couple years later? So what was the story there?
Yeah, I'd been at Iowa State for 8 years. Was looking for other opportunities to grow because I'd only been in Division I at one program. So just wanted to aspire to be a head coach. Thought it'd be important to keep growing and developing. My wife played in the WNBA for the Seattle Storm. And so she had been out in Seattle, really loved it out there. She's from Australia originally, so it's a lot easier travel to get back to see her family. And truthfully, Coach Romar and I had a relationship over a number of years and had a lot of respect for him as a person, as a coach, and thought there was a lot I could learn from him. And so just new opportunity for growth and development. And then after 2 years of that, Coach Hoiberg called me back in the spring and said, he had a position open. He kind of said, when I have a spot, you're going to be the guy that I call at some point. You can always tell me no. And he called, and now our situation, our family had changed. We had twins, young kids, and my family's, back in Wisconsin, wanted to probably get a little closer, and so then it would be the right time to come back.
You were there during the time that Royce White was there, who Houston fans know not necessarily for the best of reasons, but he was a stud when he was at Iowa State. Did you know at the time that like his issues would be tough for him to deal with when he got to the NBA?
There are certainly signs of it. I think, obviously with the travel being one, I think, obviously Royce was talented. But there's also sometimes with players, there's guys that have no maintenance at all and they just go about their business every day. And there's guys that have things that you see from time to time that could impact their ability to be successful. And unfortunately, some of those things were there at times for Royce. I think he worked really hard to try to do everything he could. But you just knew that there was always going to be those question marks if that would be a challenge.
How long do you think, and you're obviously known as a great recruiter, you recruited a bunch of the great players that Iowa State's had over the last 15 years, How long do you think it'll take for you to start getting, and obviously not Big 12 type talent, but maybe the type of talent to elevate the Jackrabbits up to the top of that Summit League?
I think for us, you know, we have a recruiting class coming in this year we're really excited about. We signed four players early, and we're hopeful to sign a few more here late. And I think it's just gradually making those gains. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to just find a magic solution, but it's just continuing to recruit hard every year, to be persistent and try to continue to build little by little. I mean, Gonzaga is really somebody that we look at in the model that where they are and how they've done things. And I don't think 10 years ago even you would suspect they'd get a McDonald's All-American like a Zach Collins. But now that's reality because of the progress they've made. So we're just going to roll up our sleeves, try to work hard on the recruiting trail, and hopefully over time that'll take care of itself.
How broad is your recruiting range? I mean, obviously, if you're in the Dakotas, it's hard to get kids from New York City up to the Dakotas. Yeah. But I would guess Dakotas, Montana, those are the types of kids you guys look at. But are you looking at, are you trying to find hidden gems elsewhere around the country?
Yeah, we are. I think, you know, you start, no matter where you are, with the area around you. And for us, the Dakotas, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and we've signed three players early from Wisconsin. So we'll try to the upper Midwest. It'll probably be our bread and butter where we spend the majority of our time. But obviously, to really be successful, I think you have to be willing to go nationally. And whether that means West Coast, whether it means to the South or to the East, we're definitely going to keep building those relationships and recruiting there, even though we know that's not going to be always applicable to get players from far out of region.
All right, that's TJ Otzelberger. Appreciate you taking the time with us, Coach. Congrats on making the tournament this year, and I look forward to watching you. Continued success, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
And once again, want to remind you, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by Coaches vs. Cancer. Westwood One and its partner stations around the nation are pleased to be teaming with Coaches vs. Cancer during the NCAA tournament and this Final Four weekend. Join the fight and the Coaches vs. Cancer team today by texting CVC to 41444. You can also donate at coachesversuscancer.org. Every dollar counts. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Tune in to the Final Four on ESPN 97.5 and SB Nation 1560, 3:30 Saturday.
And we are back on the Blitz live here at Radio Row in Phoenix for the Final Four. And our next guest is the new coach at Oklahoma State, Mike Boynton, who is taking over for Brad Underwood. And I know there's a lot of SFA listeners in Houston on our station who are familiar with both guys. Coach, appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Were you surprised how quickly this happened, that Brad really only did 1 year there?
Yeah, I guess the biggest surprise was Brad leaving, right? You know, first year there, we kind of get it going, get to the tournament, and then the day after the season's over, it's over, you know. Not just the season, but his tenure as the Oklahoma State head coach. So that was the most surprising part of it. And then there's a little shock that, why, what does this mean for everybody? And then you figure it out and you get involved in the job and you go after whatever thing you have.
You know, I was surprised that he left, but mostly because I think the job that he took, it sort of a lateral move as far as, like, when you rank basketball jobs and in the media, we do that. Like, to me, those two programs, I mean, it's similar level of you know, like, support for the program and things like that. That's what made it surprising to me. Have you talked to him? Do you have any idea why?
I haven't. I don't know. I don't know what was it that ultimately made him make the decision.
You should have asked.
I had that conversation.
Yeah, you should have found out before you signed your name. That's,
yeah.
Maybe something real bad going on.
But you know, if he hadn't taken it, I wouldn't be having this opportunity to be the head coach at Oklahoma State, my first job. You know, Brad was great to me. Got a chance to work with him for 4 years, and I wish him nothing but the best in Champaign.
Well, and this is a pretty good first job for someone to walk into. So what were some of the challenges for you, and how about recruits? Most of the guys hanging with you guys? Or?
Yeah, you know, recruiting is always a work in progress. It's the thing you have to do literally every day because it's about players, right? You know, you got to have good players who believe in what you're doing, who you can get to work together to achieve goals. And so that's a constant work in progress. The other part, I don't think about it in terms of age or anything like that. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to put together a staff that will help us compete with all the Big 12 teams.
So when you put together a staff, what are you looking for? Do you want to get a veteran guy who's been a head coach before somewhere on there, or you want up-and-comers?
I think that's something you take into consideration. You know, doing something for the first time, maybe having somebody who's done it before may be a benefit to me. You know, obviously recruiting is a big, big deal. I can't emphasize that enough. We've got to have guys who can help us recruit good players. We've already retained probably my number one guy in Lamont Evans as the associate head coach, so I'm really excited about that. So we got two more spots to fill. Hopefully we'll get that done before too long.
You might be familiar with one of the teams in the Final Four here. So I guess I know who you're rooting for, but how is that now? Obviously focused on Oklahoma State, but played there, coached there. How does it feel for you to see South Carolina in there?
No, it's great for that school. They've got a passionate fan base who've been waiting for this opportunity for a really long time. You know, the last time they went to the tournament was 2004. Hadn't won a game since 73. And for a program at that level, you would certainly think, man, that's really hard to go that long without any kind of real success at this time of year. So long overdue, really happy for the kids. Frank's been unbelievable. As a person, as a coach, and getting those guys to play the way he wants them to play. So it's really awesome for him.
What kind of style are you looking to employ? Are you going to kind of keep what you've been doing? Or obviously, you're going to put your own spin on it, but in general, do you have a style in mind that you want to play?
Yeah, I think my style's been kind of formed over my whole life, you know, playing for a lot of different guys, working for a lot of different guys. First and foremost, we'll be really, really aggressive defensively. We'll be a team that tries to make you uncomfortable on the offensive end in terms of trying to run the things you like to run. And then offensively, you know, depending on our roster, we'll get up and down quite a bit. If we can find a Shaq, we'll throw it inside quite a bit. If not, we'll try to get out and create turnovers and score in transition.
We've seen in the Big 12, it's funny how it works out that when teams get new coaches, sometimes it works instantly, and then sometimes it takes some time to gel. I mean, Shaka Smart at Texas is having a hell of a time getting any traction there, and he's a guy who came in with a lot of credentials. Is it pressure for you starting out in the Big 12? That's your first job. I mean, do you almost wish that you would have had a chance to coach be a head coach at a smaller school somewhere?
You know, I mean, you don't, when you have a chance to be a head coach at
the
Division I level, you know, you don't say I don't want to coach in the Big 12. You take the opportunity and you make sure you surround yourself with people who can help you do the job. And that's my first focus, is making sure we get a really good staff in here. But a lot of it's about fit, right? And you got to be at a place where you can get people to buy into what you're wanting to do. And I believe part of the reason that I was even considered is because I've got really, really good relationships with all the guys on the team, and they already believe in me. So that's one hurdle cleared. A new coach got to clear that hurdle when he gets in and get to know the guys and tell them, convince them, hey, what we're going to do is good. They already know that, so that'll help with the transition.
How are you liking Stillwater so far?
I like it even more now.
Okay.
So you've got advantages and disadvantages there. Obviously, the resources are terrific. The disadvantage is you're playing in a conference where there's just not many easy outs. So how do you balance those two and going into your first year next year?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't even look at that as a negative, really. I mean, and why I say that, we were 0-6 to start league play. I don't know if you can recover in any other league and still make the tournament after starting 0-6. There were still a lot of opportunities out there for us to get quality wins against quality opponents. So once we figured it out and we got those wins, we gave ourselves a chance. So that's how I look at it. You know, you just got to continue to get better. If your teams continue to get better over the course of the season, it'll work itself out.
Well, Coach, best of luck next season. Looking forward to seeing what you do there, and enjoy the games this weekend.
Thank you very much.
I see Lon Kruger around here. If you want to go hip check him, something like that.
No hip check.
Start it right.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. It is a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Tune Tune in to the Final Four on ESPN 97.5 and SB Nation 1560, 3:30 Saturday.
And we are back on the Blitz live here at Radio Row in Phoenix. And I want to remind you, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row is being brought to you by Coaches vs. Cancer. Westwood One and its partner stations around the nation are pleased to be teaming with Coaches vs. Cancer during the NCAA tournament and this Final Four weekend. Join the fight and the Coaches vs. Cancer team today by texting CVC to 41444. You can also donate at coachesversuscancer.org. Every dollar counts. And joining us now, haven't spoke to him since last year at the Final Four, and that one was a little bit better for you. Coach Lon Kruger, Oklahoma, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
So talk about the experience last year, because you're one of the few coaches that was in the Final Four that would actually come talk to us that week, because obviously pretty busy. But what was that experience like?
It's a fantastic experience. You know, young people, when they start practice back in September, October, you know, everyone has a goal of going to the Final Four. And for those guys on our squad last year, they did a terrific job. They played good basketball late in the year, and they've got those memories now for a lifetime.
This year, not so good, not as good, but you know, we've talked about this with a couple of people. Big 12 is no joke. There's just not a lot of easy outs in there.
No, it's a great league. Every night, well, TCU, to see what they did, winning six ball games in the NIT and winning the championship last night. Jamie Dixon's done a great job. But yeah, every night you line up. If you don't play well, you're not going to win. So regardless if you're home, on the road, you've got to bring it every night. And 18-game double round robin, so it's a big time grind, but a good battle for sure.
What do you think happened to you guys this year? I mean, to go from the Final Four last year to you know, under 500 this year, 11-win season, not something you haven't done, that you haven't had many of those in your career. What do you think went wrong in Norman?
Well, we had a young group. We didn't position our classes very well. You know, we graduated 5-6 seniors last year. Our senior guard Jordan Woodard was you know, injured and out, you know, for much of the year. ACL in during the conference run. We had one junior, so we just got caught with a young group, a really good group. We really like the group, but in that league, it's not a position you want to be in, and we paid the price for it. And yet our young guys got a lot of good experience, a lot of good minutes, and hopefully benefit from it.
So looking ahead to next year, how good do you think you'll be next year with all that experience those guys have, and maybe some guys you're bringing in as well? What do you think of next year's team?
Should be much improved. You know, certainly, again, a year older across the board. We lose only Woodard as a senior, and didn't have him much of this year. So everyone that played this year is going to play again. We got a good class coming in. The league's going to be really good again. So it'll be a battle. But like everyone, you start out expecting to do well.
When you play in a league like that, how does that prepare you for a tournament like this? Because you are pretty much night in, night out, having to play at a high level. Does that help you when you get to the NCAA tournament?
No question it does. You know, the flip side of that is it kind of grinds you down and wears you out a bit as well. But all leagues are like that. I think there's you know, whatever league you're in, you feel like that's the toughest one, and certainly that's the way you should look at it. But our league does prepare. Big 12 prepares because you play a lot of different styles. You play a lot of different you got the teams that are pressing. You got the teams that are really good zone teams. You got the teams that are really good man. So you're really preparing for everything that you're going to see in the NCAA tournament.
Let's talk about these teams playing this weekend. Who do you think's going to take it?
I mean, legitimately, I think you could make a case for any of the four. You know, they've done great. I think all four are playing right now, you know, as good as they have all year. They're playing great basketball. They're totally bought in. They're competing at a very high level. When you watch, think back to the Sweet 16 games, the Elite Eight games, I thought you had just a really high level of play. And great focus, great intensity. You know, Oregon, you know, knocks off Kansas in the Elite Eight game. To do that in Kansas City, you know, they're playing great. Roy at North Carolina, of course, great. I think you know, South Carolina and Frank, you know, just a terrific job there. And Mark and Gonzaga have been good all year long. So you got four teams playing great. Dane Altman at Oregon, you know, you can maybe look at the body of work over the last 3 to 5 years. He's probably done as well as anyone in the country. So just four really good teams playing well.
All these teams, one thing they have in common is they all, at some point in this tournament, were really up against it and found themselves in a spot where they could have lost the game, a swing here or there, and it's a totally different Final Four. Do you think that kind of helps prepare those teams for this? I mean, does it bring you together to win games like that maybe you have to steal from the brink of defeat?
No question. Those spontaneous celebrations, the value, and again, those really are intensified when you almost lose and you end up winning. And like you say, and that's typical of teams that go to the Final Four, I think. You know, one of those four games leading up, you probably dodged a bullet or you've overcome a deficit or something. Certainly not any different for this team, these four this year. But, yeah, when that happens, it does galvanize you a little bit and brings you a little closer, and you start thinking that you can get it done. You can get there and you can win it.
Last year you guys ran into a buzzsaw in Villanova that, of course, would go on to win the national championship. I mean, when you guys were on the floor, and your game wasn't that competitive, but when you were on the floor with them, could you tell that – this team had something going for them, that this was a special team?
We could. I thought, you know, right there, you know, 10 minutes going in the second half, we'd cut it to 9, and yet, you know, their will, I thought their will broke us a little bit, and you know, as a player, you kind of recognize, you know, maybe we're not able to do this. And I think at that point, you know, Villanova, you know, pushed us a little bit. We didn't respond very well.
Early in your career, you made it to a Final Four. Then you've made one now last year. You think you got another Final Four run in you?
Well, that's the hope. Yeah, again, everyone hopes that. It's tough. It's really tough.
It is.
When you think about what you have to do, and like you say, the games you have to win, and you have to stay healthy, and a lot of things have to go your way. But sure, you know, we feel like we're going to be able to recruit a group that can earn a right to be here.
Coach, I know Coaches versus Cancer is a big deal to you. Talk about how you got involved in that and what that means to you.
Back at the inception, Norm Stewart, of course, his case with cancer, being a survivor, kind of originated the Coaches versus Cancer, and we were in the Big Eight at that time with Norm, and so we've been involved from the start, and to see coaches from around the country get involved and do special things to raise dollars and raise awareness, everyone's been touched by this disease, and it's a nasty one, and the progress we've made over the last 20 years is unbelievable the lives people are leading, more survivors, more quality lives when you do survive. Just amazing progress over the last 20, 25 years.
All right, that's Oklahoma coach Lon Kruger. Coach, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Your team may be out, but there's still hope. BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse is here to cure your basketball blues. Visit BJsRestaurants.com to get $10 off $35 on your next visit. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Guys, I got to tell you about Raising Cane's, the best chicken finger meals. They're made from the best ingredients, from fresh ingredients, and that's what they're serving up at the kitchens in Raising Cane's. The best chicken finger meals, they come from fresh, never, ever frozen chicken fingers. That's all you'll find at Raising Cane's. They're marinated 24 hours, hand-battered when you order, and that stuff makes a difference. Raising Cane's has one love, and that's making the best chicken finger meals in the world, and they do it with those great ingredients. They do it with the great sides, the Texas toast and the crinkle cut fries and the cane sauce that's made in their restaurants every day. That stuff makes a difference, guys. Raising Cane's, 24 locations now in the Houston area. If you haven't found one yet, get out there and try this stuff, guys. You won't regret it. I'm not going to steer you wrong on Raising Cane's. Get out there, try one, take it home to the family this weekend, tonight. Don't make your wife cook. Just get out there and try these chicken fingers. Raising Cane's, 24 locations in the Houston area. One love.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To the Final Four on ESPN 97.5 and SB Nation 1560, 3:30 Saturday.
Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. All right, let's wrap the week up the way we always do with stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Fred loves redheads.
Yeah, I'm
where, but my mom is married.
Oh.
So, like,
let's
she
back,
was
Fred.
She was in the
Fred's
she was
married,
in the
too.
Crowd.
These are details.
Yeah.
Well, my mom, I don't know. Hold on. I got another
text. She's texting
text.
Now.
Four unread messages.
Okay, let's hear
Yeah, I think you're in trouble.
I'm looking at this attendance percentage for the NHL, and the top... Nice.
Excuse me. Yeah. All right, we'll give Quentin one more try here.
What are the odds that NBA Commissioner Adam Silver will consult with Jameis Winston about adding a woman as a coach?
I'm guessing what? I'm missing it.
Yeah, I think there was a joke there, but it kind of went over both of our heads.
Yeah.
So there's a couple calls. Fred Davis from the HD show is on there.
Oh, he dropped off.
Oh, he dropped off. Damn you, Freddie D. Caller number 25 is going to get wings. A Wingstop gift card for $25. Try the new limited edition flavor of the Brazilian citrus pepper wings at Wingstop. You get a $25 gift card to Wingstop and get the new, but this says the same thing twice. Chris.
Hey now.
Chris. Hello, Chris. He's got his radio on. Oh, well. We tried.
I guess you guys are here to promote that there are tryouts going on. What are the requirements?
Yeah, you have to be 18 years or older.
Okay.
That's me.
You have to be an adult.
You have to have a part-time job or be a part-time student.
Okay.
That's me.
Be a graduate of high school or GD.
Okay.
That's
still good, Fred.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Coming
now.
Out,
I'm
Fred.
Out
you
now.
Thinking about it?
Well, by the way, you guys have not seen me in drag, I'm telling you.
It's not necessarily all about dance because we do a lot of things in the community as well. If you like working with children, the elderly, the military,
I hate
we
that.
Do. Oh no,
that's actually my favorite part. I love
you working with old people.
Yes, I love it. It just touches my heart, and it's like my favorite thing to do is seeing someone smile.
Right? Maybe we should trade jobs. I have to work with this old guy every day. Disgusting.
But I will tell you, one client I did remember what she got. So I had an 80-year-old woman.
Gross.
80-year-old woman who bought her first vibrator from me.
Oh.
It was the most awesome, wonderful experience ever. Yes.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. What's it this week?
Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us here from Phoenix. Want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. We will be back on Monday out at Nick's Place to talk championship game. Want to remind you one last time, Westwood One and its partner stations around the nation are pleased to be teaming with Coaches vs. Cancer during the NCAA tournament and this Final Four weekend. Join the fight at the Coaches vs. Cancer team today by texting CVC to 41444. You can also donate at coachesversuscancer.org. Every dollar counts, and Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by Coaches vs. Cancer. And a lot of other people have brought you Radio Row. It's been a lot of fun. Want to thank everybody. John Lee, great job. AJ Hoffman, great job. We will see you guys on Monday. Until then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.